If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. As we go through the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's been said it doesn't matter how high you jump, but how straight you land. It doesn't matter how high you can jump, but how straight you land, because we could fall on our heads, right? And so as we study God's word and we bring the word to people around us, we want to know the truth. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine is what Paul speaks about. And so this morning we're going to study the temptation of the king. We saw Jesus anointing at the baptism to fulfill scripture, fulfill prophecy. And now we'll see a few truths in this chapter, and it's going to help us as we walk with the Lord. How many of you are sinless? How many of you never are tempted? So this is going to be great for us. Jesus himself is going to show us what he did during temptation. And hopefully this helps us as we walk with the Lord in this fallen world with temptations. And it's not if you're going to be tempted, it's when you're going to be tempted. It will happen. Listen, when we came to the saving grace of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, we have been freed from the power of sin. Sin no longer has power over us. Before we were believers, we had no control of our life. The body would say jump, and we'd say how high. Now that we're believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when we speak about power, it is the enabling us to overcome something that we didn't have the ability to do before. So we have the power over sin. When we're with the Lord, we're going to be free from the presence of sin as well. No more temptations, no more suffering, no more challenges, no more death, no more hurting. And we anticipate that, and we can't wait for him to come because he's coming soon. But while we're here, hey, he's given us instructions. So the first truth, temptation itself is not a sin. In Hebrews 4, which I'll read a little bit later on, it speaks about that we're tempted. Jesus was tempted as we are as well. So the temptation itself is not necessarily the sin. And the second truth is the difference between God testing and Satan tempting us. God tests us to prove our faith, that we would draw close to him during the times of temptation. Now, how do you know if you're strong or not, right? How do you know? Oh, I would never do that, right? Tony Evans says, I'm a great basketball player as long as I'm by myself, right? But put somebody else in the court with him, and it's a whole different story, right? So you will be tested. You will be tempted. So it's not a case that, oh, man, if anybody knew what I was going through. No, Jesus knows what you were going through because he went through it as well. We'll talk about that. Satan tempts us to draw us away. So Jesus tests us so that we would draw close to him, and Satan tempts us so that we would draw away from Christ. So when we're tempted in that time, he is faithful to come to him. Oh, God, forgive me. And he does. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them no more. He is faithful. And so Satan tempts us so that we would run from God, right? I've counseled many people. I've been there myself. Sin causes you to step back away from God. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Or if I don't even have that repentant heart, we would continue in that sin, right? Three pastors go on a fishing trip. And one pastor says, wow, this is great. We're out here by ourselves. And there's nobody around. I want to confess to you guys, I've been lusting. I've been looking at magazines I shouldn't have. And the other pastor says, wow, this is great. We can confess our sins and no one will know. And he says, you know, I hadn't paid my taxes last year. And I'm behind on my taxes. And I've done it before. I struggle with this, he says. And then the third pastor says, well, I struggle with gossip and I can't wait to get off this boat. You see, the difference in the three is two of them were repentant. The other one couldn't wait to get back into his sin. And that makes a difference, right? One walking in the Spirit of God and the other walking in the flesh. And so Satan will attack Jesus by suggesting he act in three lies. And the same thing for us. Number one, that you can attain satisfaction apart from God. Number two, that you can attain status apart from God. In the workplace, many people, there was a time in the sheriff's office where they had what was called power track, and the chiefs were brought up before the sheriff and all the command staff, and he'd have to answer to every crime that was committed in his city. And what happened is when you put that pressure on people, no matter who they are, they began to change the numbers, and they began to lie, and there was a big investigation going on, and people were indicted for falsifying police reports because of the pressure that was put upon them. And so they wanted to keep their status, and so they began to lie about the numbers. Well, shame on them for sure, but there's people in the work industry that are in sales, and they don't tell the people that are buying this car, hey, this car was in Louisiana, it was underwater in the floods for 10 days. Now, I know people who've done that, who've purchased a car like that. You open up the hood, and they didn't know any better, and the whole thing's rusted around inside. And shortly after a while, everything falls apart. Where was their integrity? They wanted to make the sale, and so they compromise for their status. The third attack, or the third lie, you can attain substance apart from God. So we have the attack of satisfaction, status, and substance. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. So know this, each one of those things are against us. But greater is He, God Almighty, through His Spirit, that is in me and in you than he that is in the world. Greater is God than what is in the world. And He dwells within the believers. And so your salvation is huge. Your commitment, your born-again status with God enables you to overcome what we'll see Jesus go through here. So the bottom line, the temptations are designed to violate the Father's will for the Son. The temptation were designed to violate the Father's will for the Son. And Jesus says in John 8, I always do what my Father's will is. He shows me and I do what my Father calls me to do. And so here we pick it up in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, underline that, into the wilderness, underline that, to be tempted by the devil, underline that. Very important. Jesus had just been baptized. In the fulfillment of scriptures, the Holy Spirit ascended on him, and the Father said, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." So we know he is the Son of God. The Father says so, right? And now, after this great experience that he has, and maybe you've experienced this too, an amazing movement in God in your heart or in your life, and something's happened. He's then led by his Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We'll talk about that. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was what? Hungry. I bet he was after 40 days. And so once again, immediately after Jesus' baptism, he's led by the Spirit. It's important. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. This is Spirit-led, right? After he had been baptized and anointed by the Father. Don't pursue temptation. Right? If you deal with lust, as I have, and you're not going to go into a strip club to try to get the strippers saved, right? It's not probably going to work. Don't put yourself in an area where you're going to be tempted. If you have a problem with alcohol, don't go into bars and think you're going to get people saved. You're not, because you're unequally yoked, right? And so don't pursue temptations, but the Spirit, listen, led him into the wilderness. And we're going to talk about why that happened. It's important for us to understand the whys and then what happens as well. So he's led by the Spirit. Why? To be tempted. Solicitation to sin, to disobey the Father. The opportunity to take the least resistance to sin and disobey the Father. So what's he doing? He's tempting man to disobey God as well. What is he doing the first time in the Old Testament? He tempts Adam and Eve, right? He tempts them to disobey God. This is what he wants for us. In these temptations, he is tempting us to disobey God, period. to sin against God's will. The first thing he did was tempt Adam and Eve. He would challenge them and question them. Did God really say, don't eat of this fruit? You know, God knows if you eat of that fruit, you're going to be just like him. He doesn't want equals. You should eat that fruit. You're going to be great. You're going to be just like God. And here's what this looks like in the workplace. Hey, you know what? Nobody's going to know. You don't have to tell them all the flaws in this vehicle you're buying. It's shined up. The wax job looks beautiful. Just make the sale and walk away. And yet, you weren't honest. You've been deceitful. And you've sinned against the will of God. So we see the whys and we see the whens and we see the hows. Understand the enemy's method of operation. His desire for you is to walk away from the will of God, to cause you to sin, to fall short. And so Jesus fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. There's two other people in the scriptures that did that. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, and Moses in Exodus chapter 38. And now before we consider these temptations of Jesus, before we get deep into this, I want you to remember that it was the Spirit that led him in. Why? We ask that question. We ask, why would the Spirit of God lead Jesus to a place of temptation? And I believe there's two reasons, both important for us to understand. Number one, Jesus is led into the wilderness to reveal who he is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he declares that Jesus is the last or the second Adam. Okay, so stay with me here. Remember, the first Adam in the garden was also tempted directly by Satan. The first Adam was in a beautiful garden. Jesus, the last Adam, was in a barren, forsaken place. The first Adam ate freely of all the things except this one tree. And Jesus ate nothing for 40 days. Physically strong, the first Adam, Jesus is hungry, and he's at the starving point, and he's weak physically, right? The first Adam fell into temptation and plunged all humanity into the law to be lost and hopeless. Jesus does not fall, does not fail, and he conquers sins and declares who he is. That's the first reason. I believe the second is that he was led into the wilderness to relate to us, so that he would have an understanding of how we struggle. It always baffled me how the priests who never married anyone could talk to people married and give marriage counseling. I don't understand that. Or if you've never had a kid in your life, you're going to tell people how to raise their kids. I mean, you could certainly look at the scriptures, but you have no experience in that to relate to people, right? You can't relate what it's like to get up in the middle of the night when your kids have colic. Both of my kids had that. And I remember the first one, man, we're jumping over each other to get into the bedroom. Why is he coughing? The second one, you go check him. Things will begin to change, right? Because you're a little more experienced. Though they'll be okay. We just got to get in there. And so, Jesus was tempted just like we were. It says in Hebrews, it tells us that in Hebrews chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. I want to read this to you. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, the peace of Christ, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of men. Seeing then, verse 14 in chapter 4 of Hebrews, for those who take a note, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. What do you mean, Pastor, in all points? That's what it says. Now, what about this sin? Well, it says all points, so you, when you get there, you can ask him about that. But right, we don't have a high priest who's never been married, never had kids, to talk about how to have marriage counseling and raising kids. We have a high priest who was tempted in all points, whatever that means, as we were, so that he can then... He was tempted in all points as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to his throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, when you sin, thank God he doesn't erase our name out of the book of life. Oh, that's it. Fourth time, he's out. Like I'd have a hole there in the page. And so would you. If you've sinned... He understands. He doesn't accept it. It's not, okay, do it again. It doesn't really matter. No, it matters. He died and his blood was shed. But he says, if and when you fail, not if, but when you, come to him, because he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to give us peace. So when we sin, if we fall into the temptation, he is faithful and he gives us that remedy to come to him. Again, what was the test? To come to Christ, right? If we're tempted, it's a test. Come to Christ. If you fail, what do? Come to Christ. But here's what happens. People fail and they go away from God. When just the opposite should happen. If you're struggling and stuff, and I've met many people struggling in all different kinds of ways, and we never see him at church. Well, how come you're not coming? Oh, man, my life's a mess. This is why you got to be in the church. So your faith would grow. How does your faith grow? By hearing what? The Word of God. If you're not studying it at home, and most people don't, you're not hearing it at your workplace, right? Come to church. Come to church so you can, your faith can grow, so we can look at what God has for us. The Word of God is food, it's meat, it's milk for the infants, but it's meat and potatoes for the mature. And you got to start somewhere. So if you start with the milk, that's great. But you're not going to stay there. And what does that mean, Pastor Milk? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? And that's the milk. That's for the salvation. God loves you, died for you. But the Bible says don't stay in the elementary things of God, but we would grow and learn more and mature more. What does that mean? Well, life is hard, isn't it? Sometimes? Oh, absolutely. Life is difficult. And many times we don't understand why, and we're like, God, where are you? But yet he's still there, and he's allowing these things to happen, and so we say, all right, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I have kidney stones. I had a CT scan last week. I had surgery almost a year ago, and a month after the surgery, I get a CT scan. I still have kidney stones, and I don't have one or two. I have hundreds, which is amazing to me because the doctor has never seen anything like this before. And I wish they had value, like diamonds or something, we'd build a church, but, you know, that's not the case, right? And I have faith that God could heal me this second. I've prayed. I've had people lay hands on me, anoint me with oil. And yet God hasn't taken it away. So the wisdom is God sometimes doesn't take it away. And here's what, in the name of Jesus, Satan, get out. But it might not have been from Satan. Or if it is from Satan, God's allowing it to continue. Where do we see that in Scripture, Pastor? Paul had the same thing. And what's great about the Scripture, it doesn't tell us what it is. But it says he had a thorn in his side. How many want a thorn in their side? No, I don't want. He had a thorn in his side. And it probably bothered or hurt him so much that he cried and prayed to God three times, Lord, take this from me. And you know what the response of Jesus was? Oh, yeah, let me get that out. Man, we don't want you to suffer. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Meaning, I'm with you. I got you covered. You're going to go through this, but you're going to come out. You're going to endure. You're going to learn something from this. You know, it's been said that a calm sea does not make a seasoned sailor, right? What makes a seasoned sailor? Rough seas. Oh, my goodness, how am I going to get out of this, right? A rough sea. Sometimes things are difficult in your life. To get you to, and you realize, hey, thank you, Lord, you got me through that. Sometimes we Close that door for me, Dean, please. Sometimes we're in the beginning of a challenge or a trial. Sometimes we're in the middle of it, and sometimes we're on the other side of it, right? And we got through it. Why? Well, now we can help other people. Hey, you know what? It's not going to take you out. So in police work, we're trained. And if you want to carry pepper spray, you get pepper sprayed. They spray you right in the eyeball, and it burns so bad. Why do they do that? Because they want you to know what it feels like to get pepper sprayed, and not only what it feels like, but that you can get through it. Like you're not totally capacitated. So, not to get too detailed, but if you spray someone, the wind, you're going to get some on you. And you can't be like, oh, I can't go any farther. No, you're going to survive. You're going to be okay. And you realize that once you've been sprayed. If you want to carry a taser, guess what? You get shot with the taser. And I got hit with the taser. Why? So you know how it'll incapacitate you, and you'll have an understanding of what it will and won't do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we have that experience so that we realize that we can get through it. Things are hard, God's going to get through it. God's going to get you through it, and you're going to learn. What are you going to learn? Well, this is for mature people, because babies are not getting pepper sprayed light, right? But adults, if you're in the field and you want to do this, you'll have an understanding. And so God is showing us, I'll get you through it, and you can minister to other people. God's with you. Yeah, hang in there. Your life's not over with. Continue on. So the reason why you get pepper sprayed is because if you get it on it, you're still in the fight. Don't give up. Oh, it burns. Yeah, it burns. Keep fighting. Keep going. You don't have to stop. In the same way in life, sometimes something happens. Oh, that's it. Pastor didn't say hello to me this morning. I'm out. That church is so unfriendly. And I'm just trying to be funny about it, but it's true, right? Maybe not for you, but other people, this is their life. They're looking for other people to satisfy them, or they're trying to satisfy themselves. And this is our first challenge that we see here. Jesus fasted for 40 days. And at this point, he's hungry. After 40 days, your body starts eating itself. The enzymes in your stomach start eating its own flesh, and this is how you get starved. So after a season of fasting, now I've never fasted that long, not even close. But after a while, you won't be hungry anymore, and there'll come a point that you'll get hungry. He's at that point now. So it's a dangerous point. Your body has to have substance, but there's a point here. Now, we're going to see three temptations. It's like he went in the desert and he had three temptations. No, he was there for 40 days. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, and it doesn't even allude to this, but in my opinion, he was challenged throughout that whole 40 days. You ever fast at all? Man, it's a struggle, right? You're denying yourself of the food, and it's a picture of Christianity where we deny ourselves. And just, you don't necessarily have to use food to fast. You can stop and resist something else. A denying of self. But I believe he was challenged the whole time. And so we pick it up in verse 3 and 4. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus responds and answers and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He's asking, not if, but because you are, right? You've heard this before. Since you are, because he knows who he is, he's challenging. Well, you know, if you're God, you can command these stones to become bread. And Jesus responds here, and he quotes Scripture. Satan's attacking Jesus on the basis of his humanity. He's hungry. You ever been there? Oh, it might not be food. It might be affection, right? You know, this might not be the right person for you to be hanging out with or engaging with, and there's a temptation. Well, you know, my emotional needs are being met. I know it's wrong, but I can't help myself. That's a challenge. That's a temptation, right? Because Satan is going to challenge you in an area where he knows you're weak. Now, he's not omniscient and omnipresent. He's not everywhere and doesn't know everything. But where you're weak is that's where your temptation's going to be. Like, I went to the Bahamas once with some friends when I was younger, and I'm not a gambler. I'm too cheap. And as soon as we got there, I had a friend. He lost $300 on this table. like in 5 minutes, and I'm grabbing him by his pants. I'm like, come on, let's go. No, get out of here. Like, he couldn't let go of this table. And I couldn't believe it. I wasn't a Christian then, but I wasn't gambling anyway. It doesn't matter. The point of the story is like, that to me is so stupid that you would throw your money away. But yet, that's a challenge for some people. And my sin that I struggled with, lust, people would say, oh, that's so stupid, control yourself. But that was my sin, right? Common to all man. It's nothing new under the sun. And so he challenges you in the weak places. Remember I said if you struggle with alcohol, don't hang out in bars and say, oh, I'm trying to get people saved. No, you're going to start drinking from the well after a while, right? Satan attacks you in your humanity. He comes at the most vulnerable point in our lives. Satan uses your divine nature to satisfy your human nature. Sounds good, right? Since you're God, make these stones become bread. You can do it, Jesus. Go ahead. Why was this sin? This is the question. Why would that be sin? He could do that, right? He was hungry. He would have violated the will of the Father at that time. Jesus placed his trust and care in the Father's hands, and he would not step ahead to satisfy himself. So the first lie is you can satisfy yourself outside of God's will. Jesus relied on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Listen, and don't miss this, the love of the Father. The love of the Father. Jesus answers this temptation of Satan with the Word of God. And how does that happen for us? Well, Psalm 119 says, your word I have hidden in my heart so that I will not sin against you. So when those times of temptations come, we remember what the Word of God says and we resist. We submit our will to God's will, right? And if we submit our will to God's will, then we have the power to resist Satan. And what does he do? He flees from you, right? Oh, he'll come back for a more opportune time, but there's victory in that. Now, many people read that, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, you don't have the power outside of God's will and the Holy Spirit to resist the devil. But it's my submitting to God. God, I'm yours. I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to go to that place anymore. I don't want that darkness in my life anymore, Lord. I'm submitting to your will, and I'm resisting that temptation, and it'll leave you. It's true. Absolutely true. So the key point, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man's point is his human nature. We can relate to this. In other words, it's the filling of God that sustains us. Not just physically with the bread, but the Word of God spiritually. I can overcome Satan's temptation as a man. This is what he's showing us. This is what Jesus is showing us. Did Jesus have the opportunity to sin? Yes, absolutely. This is why Satan's tempting him. He could have sinned. But he doesn't. And he uses the Word of God, submitting to the Father's will, to resist the devil. Important, Jesus has two things available as he overcame. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit came upon him in the water. Because he set aside his authority when he came here to the will of the Father. And he set aside his will to the will of the Father when he came here. And so now he has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Guess who else has the anointing of the Holy Spirit? All those who believe. The Spirit dwells within you, right? And so he has the Spirit of God, and he has the Word of God hidden in his heart. The point is, both are available to us as well to overcome these temptations, right? Spirit of God in me. Now, let me say this. Without the Spirit of God in me, I want to jump into the lustful thoughts. I want to take that drink. I want to go to that place. I want to do that thing because that's the desires of the flesh. But now the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I realize this is not good. God has said so. And he also says why in the things that happen as a result of that. So now I don't want to do that anymore. And I want to resist. And the Holy Spirit gives me the ability and the power to overcome. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. Jesus, in my spirit need to obey God in greater than my physical need to eat. Which do we choose? The temptation or the will of God? Fulfilling my desires physically, emotionally, or God's will for my life as a witness of Him, as an ambassador to Him? Which do I choose? Verse 5 through 7. Then the devil took him up on a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written in your word, he will shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then Jesus again responds to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So the holy city that he brought him to was Jerusalem, set him up on a high pinnacle of the temple. Herod's temple, the corner was the southwest corner of the Herod's temple. It's 400 feet high. And then he challenges him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Psalm 91, he quotes, Jesus quotes. What is Jesus quoting? The Word of God. He's going to the Word of God and he's quoting that. Not only is he quoting it, but he's living it. It's one thing to hear the Word of God, right? And don't do it. And what does Scripture say? You're deceiving yourself. The other thing is to hear the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God increases our faith. Faith comes by hearing. And then applying it. And if we do that, he says, we're blessed. And so, Satan switches strategies now. He uses God's word too, right? Did he quote Scripture? Satan quoted Scripture too, didn't he? But out of context. And he used it to tempt him. Read this Scripture in context, trusting God faithfully, not testing God faithfulness less, right? So, if you are the Son of God, or in other words, since you are the Son of God, demonstrates the it, show your status. The second lie, you can attain status outside of God's will. Jesus' answer comes from Deuteronomy 6. Now, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. If Jesus, it's wrong for him, as it well is for us, to test God's faithfulness. All right, God, if you're really God, I'm going to jump off this building. You're probably going to get squashed like a grape, right? Because God doesn't play tricks and he doesn't want to be tempted. And this is what he's quoting here. And what Satan is really saying to Jesus, you know, if God really loves you, he's going to save you, right? Now, what is he going after? Well, his emotions, his status, right? Does God really love you, right? Does God really love you? If he really loves you, he's going to save you. Go ahead, see if he does it, right? Third temptation, running out of time here. Matthew 4, verses 8 through 11. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down, and here it is, worship me. This is what he wanted Jesus to do, to worship him. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written. So here's the submitting to God, the resisting the devil, away from you, Satan. And he quotes Scripture, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now it's interesting, the angels come and minister to Jesus, but he's put on this exceedingly high mountain, Mount Herod, 9,200 feet high, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the supernatural vision that he gives him. And he says to him, all these things, who will give him? I will give him. Satan will give him all these things. Satan is in control of this world at this time. He can do nothing outside of God's will, God's permissive will. But Jesus doesn't challenge him and say, no, you can't. So notice, Jesus doesn't disagree that they're Satan's to give. Satan took possession of the earth at the fall. Three times he's called the prince of this world in the book of John. So Jesus' death at the cross redeem the world from Satan's authority, Jesus will come back and bring us home to be with him, right? So he hasn't come and taken us back yet. So this is a period of which we now live. Hebrews 2 says that through the death he might destroy him who had power over death, that is the devil. And at this time, Satan says, you can have it all. Just come and worship me. Fall down and worship me. Contradicts God's will, right? And this is the third lie. You can attain substance outside of God's will. You shall worship the Lord your God and him only. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6. Only God's worthy of worship. By worshiping Satan, Jesus would have sinned. And he couldn't offer, listen, don't miss this. He couldn't offer a sinless sacrifice because he is the unblemished Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so Satan is challenging, if you are, since you are, do these things. And if he would act it upon the challenges or the temptations of Satan, he would not have been able to give that sinless sacrifice and save us from our sins. So praise God that he didn't submit and that he resisted. Because if he would have, he wouldn't have been the unblemished lamb. And attains true substance through obeying God's will. The devil left him. And Jesus says, away with you. Again, James 4, if you don't know that. Submit to God and resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Listen, some of you are challenged with temptation. Some of you may be engaged in sinful activity. God wants you out. He's telling you today to submit to him, resist those temptations, and Satan will flee from you. Well, it's overwhelming for me. No, God can do anything. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, he knows what's ahead. We don't. We're just engaged in the pleasures of sin for a little while, but down the road it can be devastating for us. Get out now while you have breath. Two things about Satan. Number one, he's forced to obey Jesus' authority. He has no power over you. You don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. Okay? We see Jesus giving an example how that happens. But if you do sin, come to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and wash us from all unrighteousness. Number two, he's a finite being. He can only be at one place at one time. So we talk about Satan being in everybody's head and he's all over the place. He's not. He's a created being. He does not. Jesus and Satan are not equal. They're not brothers, as some religions say. Jesus is God Almighty, their creator. And Satan is a created being. He does not have all the powers that we give him. He thinks he does, and he challenges people, but he doesn't. God is greater. 1 Corinthians 14 calls Jesus the last Adam, as we talked about. It's interesting to compare Jesus with Adam here. Adam was in the garden, as we talked about. Jesus was in the wilderness. The first Adam plunged us into sin. The second Adam, Jesus, brings us to the Father through salvation through him. Isn't that great? Where Adam failed, Jesus conquered. And we can overcome temptations. How? By the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Submitting to God, resisting the devil. And we see in Jesus' life, why would he show us this if it wasn't for us to follow and to understand? He shows us this, that we can overcome. Again, Hebrews 4:15, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us. He knows what you're struggling. He knows that emotional need that you have. He knows that status you're looking for. He knows everything about you. And he wants to be able to fulfill what he wants for your life. We just need to resist Satan's temptation to draw us away. Now, there's a year gap. I want to finish this chapter real quick. There's a year gap between this temptation and where we go now in verses 12 through 17. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, He departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. Who are they talking about? Well, that's Jesus. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. John had been in prison. Jesus departs to this place. He establishes the headquarters there. Four factors. It's along the trade route, connecting Asia, Africa, and Europe. Considered the population there. It was a great place for ministry. Listen, I have some friends that when they were retiring from the sheriff's office, like, we're going to go get a house up in the mountains. Why? I mean, I could never live there. My wife and I went to this chalet in Franklin, Carolina. It was a beautiful four-story house, just spectacular. But after like the first 4 days, the same squirrel was on the same tree in the same place. And there was no Dunkin' Donuts. Nobody's delivering pizza. It wasn't where the people were, right? This is a place where the people were. Jesus came to save them at which was lost. And he first speaks of the Jewish people. And I'm going to close here because there's a lot more we want to talk about. But Jesus shows us how to resist temptation. And then he goes where the people are. Why did God save you? If it was just to go to heaven, let's have the funeral the next day. Let's get out of here. Right? Sign me up. But that wasn't why he just saved us. He saved us so that we can tell other people, this is the lifeboat. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You're not getting to the Father any other way but through Christ. It is by his blood, because he was the unblemished lamb. He just proved that. He did not sin. He was sinless. And this is why his sacrifice was acceptable to the Father. And now he wants us to go tell people. Listen, some of us can't even tell our family members about Jesus. How effective are we going to be out in the field? Start in your house. Start with your neighbor, your friends. Because he saved us so that he could use us, listen, to save other people. Isn't that neat? No matter who you are, I can't preach. No, he didn't call you to preach. Right? Oh, I don't know how to pray. Oh, you can pray. Can you love on people? Oh, yeah, you can love on people. I don't know how to love. Well, what did Jesus do to you? He loved you, right? Oh, I can't forgive people. Why not? Jesus forgave you. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. Listen, we are not of this world. Our kingdom is in heaven. The way we live and function and operate is different from the world. Now, we go to the same place to work and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. It's our motive of operation. We're here as ambassadors of the King. We need to live in love and compassion for other people and tell them the good news. How are they going to know? So I pray this morning as we close, as the worship team comes up, that the Lord would spark that fire in our hearts. Number one, to know that we can resist temptation because we have the ability by the power. Number two, to know that if you do sin, he is faithful to forgive you your sins. And listen, never remember them no more. Cast them as far as the east is from the west. And number three, that we would then go and do what Jesus told us to do, which is go and make disciples. Go and make followers of me. Teach them everything that I've taught you. Well, Pastor, I'm not a theologian. It's okay. How much do you know? Go tell them whatever it is, right?